Every week, the Orange Fizz team breaks down the five most pressing questions about Syracuse athletics.
Holy cow, what a big time defensive play!
No holds barred.
I pity the fool.
It's the Fizz Five.
Five!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Fizz Five. I'm Adam Gotkin, alongside Nico Horning. In what probably should be a dead period right now in terms of college sports, in terms of news around Syracuse, but in this new age, we have got so many things to talk about. The transfer portal in basketball, the spring game in football is this upcoming week. Lacrosse seasons are in full swing with conference tournaments coming up, so we'll get into all of that and start things off with topic number one, which is the transfer portal and the players who have left the Orange that have found new homes.
Number one.
All right, so starting off with the former Orange who have transferred out. Three players who played at Syracuse this past season have committed to new schools within the past week. Peter Carey going to Siena, Benny Williams to UCF, and Justin Taylor to James Madison. Nico, are there any of those that really stand out to you more than any others?
Out of those three, to be honest, I think obviously Justin Taylor is your biggest player. I think out of those three, you know, we know Benny Williams was a really highly rated recruit a couple of years back, but didn't pan out to be who he was. I think everyone realized that, you know, pretty early on in his tenure with Syracuse. Justin Taylor, yes, he's leaving, but he really wasn't in a comfortable role last year. I mean, he had to play the four with Malik Brown going to the five, and I don't think that he really had a future at Syracuse-ish. I mean, yes, he would have started, but he was just kind of stagnant. You know, he was just kind of there. His three-point shot was a little bit off last year. So for him to get a change of scenery, which is more of what I think he's doing, more than, you know, a personnel change, I guess Taylor leaving has the biggest effect. But at the same time, out of all those three, you know, I think it's time for both sides to move on.
Yeah.
There are a couple other ones that you know, can stand out a little bit more.
The one thing that I saw, and I don't know if it surprised me, I think JMU is a good fit for Taylor. It's close to home, but that's a huge drop-off. To go from a starter in the ACC to James Madison, and yes, this JMU was really good this year. I mean, beat Wisconsin in the first round of the tournament, but the Sun Belt isn't even a top 15 conference in college basketball. I mean, that is a massive drop-off in competition. And the first thing that came to my mind is, what does that say about Syracuse's team last year? That one of its starters goes from Syracuse to James Madison. It doesn't surprise me to see someone like Peter Carey go to school like Siena. I mean, even that might be a little bit surprising because the MAC is so bad and Carey got some minutes. To see him drop down a level, I was maybe thinking to see someone like Carey go to a school like James Madison, which is, you know, a lot better than Siena. But for Justin Taylor to go to James Madison, I feel like that says a lot about just like, you know, this Syracuse team overall just really wasn't that good nationally, wasn't that respected by other coaches talent-wise to have one of your starters go to the Sun Belt.
I think it's, for Justin Taylor to go to JMU, I think he just wants to be in a better role and play more and be more comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing for him because yes, you know, you can play ACC basketball. You're going up against someone tough pretty much every single night. And I think it caught up to him because his shot was off. He didn't look like he was always in a rhythm. And I think a change of scenery will help with that, even if it is going down in a conference. I think it's a good spot. I mean, yes, you mentioned James Madison may not be the level of basketball that Syracuse is, but if he wants to play more, if he wants to, you know, build a better reputation by, yes, maybe playing less teams, but if he can improve his skill set that way, you know, he might just have to do that. It's one route you have to go to get better.
Yeah, and JMU's an interesting school because it's been unbelievably good at sports in the past year. We all remember that football season this past year. Basketball was so good this year. Even you look at, like, their soccer and baseball teams just as a school, JMU has been unbelievable recently and has actually just moved up to the Sun Belt. Wouldn't fully shock me if Justin Taylor is a type of player who maybe goes back up after gaining his confidence. Maybe we see him, you know, back in the ACC somewhere in a couple of years. Benny Williams, the other one that I want to touch on, him going to UCF. He's the only guy so far to transfer to another Power 5 school, with UCF recently joining the Big 12. What kind of success do we expect from Benny Williams moving forward? Would it shock you if he becomes a consistent contributor at the Power 5 level just because of his athleticism when he finds a new home and maybe is able to get some more confidence? Would that shock you?
It would.
Really?
It would. I think he's done.
Really?
I think, you know, you cannot let your I don't know what it is off the court, but you can't let it get to you. You cannot let that affect basketball. And I think he's just had too many off-court instances to make people not really want to pull for him. I think that's what it's come down to. And yes, he gets a fresh start at UCF, so that can help, right? I'm not saying he's not going to, you know, not do better. But as far as his maximum potential, unless he really has just this tremendous turnaround, from what I've seen and from his attitude that he's put towards some people at Syracuse, you know, that affects you wherever you go. So I think the fresh school will help. But I'm not expecting much from Betty Williams, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to change his attitude, and he's going to have to figure some things out himself. Of course, we're rooting for Benny. We're rooting for all of these players who have transferred out of Syracuse, Peter Carey, as well as we mentioned, he's going over to Siena, joining GMAC. Wishing for all the best for all of them. Again, I think it's really interesting to look at the schools that these guys commit to. Mm-hmm. I think it gives you a good sense of what other coaches around the country think of these players. And think of, you know, Syracuse's team last year. Well, just like that, we'll move to Syracuse's team this year. And the second player who committed to the Orange, and potentially some other players that we're looking out for to commit to Syracuse in the coming days. And that is topic number two.
Number two.
Well, topic number two, Syracuse gets commitment number two out of the transfer portal this offseason in Jair Davis out of Delaware, a grad transfer who averaged 17 points this past season for the Blue Hens, 7.5 rebounds. He is an all-CAA player. I think it's a really interesting transfer. You noted this in your Fizz article that he brings a lot of experience to this team. I was a little bit surprised to see him transfer in because I expect him to come off the bench, no question, and to probably be like the seventh man on this team. I mean,
I think he's going to come off the bench?
Absolutely. Where does he start? He doesn't start. He doesn't start in front of...
Well, let's go through this team real quick before we do get into
it. So there's four starting spots that are locked up without a doubt in my eyes. You have J.J. Starling, Chris Bell, Donnie Freeman, and... oh my gosh, what's his
Lampkin.
Name? And Eddie Lampkin. Those are your four starters.
Okay, all right.
And Davis isn't going to start at that second guard spot. So he's coming off the bench. Good I see point. Elijah Moore as the sixth man. I mean, he's a top 100 recruit. He's an incredible shooter. I think he's the first off the bench. So Davis comes in as the seventh man, right? As maybe a backup to Chris Bell and to Donnie Freeman.
And boy, is it a good seventh man.
It is. I think that's the perfect way to say it, is he brings experience. I think that some people coming out and saying Syracuse just got a future star is a little bit maybe too ambitious.
Because, right, yeah, especially for, yes, correct. Especially, you know, he's played 3 years with Delaware. So, yes, they're solid, but, you know, it's not like he's coming from some perennial, you know, team where he's just the guy. Like, I think Lampkin calling from Colorado says more than Davis coming from Delaware.
Yeah, and when you right. look at Davis's game, yes, he scored 17, and yes, that translates in a sense, but I don't know how much that 17 a game translates to the Power 5 level like some other guys. So because... he's a 25% three-point shooter, so he's going to get most of his work done in the mid-range, down low, and he's just 6'7 as a forward. So
here's the deal with him. I think he's going to do better than Justin Taylor.
Yes, I think yes, I would compare him pretty well to Justin Taylor.
Yes, but I think he can do better. You know, he may not start. He has the capabilities of starting, obviously, but he probably won't start on Syracuse. The thing that sets Davis apart is his experience. You mentioned the word a couple of times, and that's what I've been harping on in these Orange Fizz articles lately, has been the experience that Syracuse basketball is bringing in right now. We talked about it with Dan Engelstad, the assistant coach now that replaced Jerry McNamara a couple weeks back, or maybe that was last week, with his experience at Mount St. Mary's when they made the NCAA tournament appearance in 2021. And now you bring in Jair Davis, who is a forward that made the NCAA tournament in 2022 with Delaware. So he had that under his belt his freshman year. Yes, he just played one game, but it doesn't matter. It's how you get to that point. It's the route that you take. It's the grit that you, like, he knows internally how to get there. And I'm hoping that these guys can bring that experience and how to do it to a Syracuse program. That's why we mentioned a couple weeks ago, at least I did, was you got to start looking at bringing guys from the outside, whether it is coaches, obviously players, that have that overarching experience already. And we didn't even talk about Eddie Lampkin Jr., who just transferred in, and he just played three March Madness games with Colorado. So you're bringing an experience. Now for Davis himself, his skill set is not exactly revolved around the three-point line. He'll shoot a few a game, you know, maybe make one or two, but I think that's something he can go to Syracuse and build on and work on coming into the game off the bench by producing two or three three-pointers a game. That would be his ideal goal. He can score points when you need him. He can rebound the basketball when you need it. He's that sort of, I don't want to compare him to Quadir Copeland, but he might be that sort of versatile guy that you can try and fit him into a role where he can be your sixth man off the bench and produce some good minutes, because that's what I see him doing. Is trying to improve that three-point shooting and coming in, giving you valuable minutes.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can ever be upset about getting more depth. There is one starter spot that is still open that,
wonder what that would be.
Syracuse needs to fill. The second guard, I want a true point guard, but we'll see what it is. Malik Mack, unfortunately, as much as I wanted him to come here, has committed to Georgetown. Heartbreaking. I'm very nervous to see those games over the next couple years of Malik Mack at Georgetown playing Syracuse. Georgetown doing some pretty interesting things in the portal right now. I think they're a team to look out for, unfortunately. So, you know, it's who else does Syracuse go after? Dakota Lefeu from Mount St. Mary's. Maybe he'll be following Engelstad, but I mean, it looks like he might be going to Villanova. So, real quick,
you say unfortunately for Georgetown getting better.
Yeah,
I look at that as a positive. Why not try and match that? Why not try and play better against the team, especially early in the season? I mean, that could be a big conference booster for you.
Yeah, a little extra fuel,
you know.
Yeah, it's better to get another good non-conference win, exactly. But at the same time, it becomes harder to win.
I guess that's my. If you want to make the tournament, you got to be good.
Well, here's the other thing. I love Malik Mack as a player and as a person. I've had the pleasure to talk to him a couple times.
Nice.
And so I wanted to root for him, and I don't want to root for Georgetown.
That's
more of it for me.
There you go.
And so he's at Georgetown. We'll see if Lefeu commits. But again, I mean, a lot of people are saying he's going to Villanova. So who's going to be that guard? We'll find out. We'll have coverage on our website at orangefizz.net and on our social medias as Syracuse continues to try and find that fifth starter. But you know, it's coming down to it. We still don't know who it is. So I guess hopefully we'll find out sooner rather than later. Well, let's take a step aside from talking basketball because it's time for spring football. The spring game coming up on Saturday. And that is topic number three.
Number three.
Well, we'll have football in the Dome on Saturday as Syracuse will have its spring game. So happy that Fran Brown is continuing this. I know it was really weird for a long time where Dino just wasn't having Syracuse play spring games. The Orange were one of the only Power 5 teams in the country that didn't have a spring football game. But Fran Brown's continuing it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be really exciting to see, you know, what this team looks like. We've heard so many kind of cool things out of practice with the intensity. And from everything it sounds like, this is going to be a real football game that we see on Saturday. And I think it's going to be really exciting to just get a first look at this roster.
Yeah, it all comes down to this. No, I'm kidding. But it should be a fun environment. You know, there's been so much hype to the Syracuse football team, and it's really gotten noticed nationally, what Fran Brown is doing. And I've said this for a couple months now that, you know, you got the hype. How are you going to live up to it? Is it going to translate to on the field? I get it. Your schedule isn't the toughest next year, but, you know, it's a waiting game. I mean, you don't play until August, September, right? So you have plenty of time to try and get right on the field as well as off the field. And there's a lot of questions that aren't going to be answered until the thick of the season. But Saturday, should give a good, you know, expectation as to what's to come for this team. And I think it should just be really interesting to see some of those guys out there. One guy in particular, Kyle McCord. I mean, he is someone that you bring in from Ohio State, first of all. And he's had 3-4 months now to really get used to what's going on at Syracuse with Fran Brown. That was one of the first guys that came into the program. And he's going to be your leader next year. And I think Saturday, that's really the one guy I'm most focused on is McCord. Not necessarily, you know, looking at stats and everything, but just how he fits into the groove, how he plays, his play style, how him and Fran Brown communicate with each other. There's a lot to look at on Saturday and a lot that people should be excited about. But at the same time, I don't need people jumping to conclusions about this team based off a spring game and jumping to conclusions based off how a team looks on paper until you hit the field in the thick of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two things that I'm looking forward to watching the most. The first is the wide receiver room, because I think there's still a lot of questions there. Unfortunately, Jackson Meeks, one of the transfers from Georgia, out for the spring game after a hairline fracture in his foot. But, you know, those Georgia guys who came in, him and Zeed Haynes, both, you know, combined 2 receptions this past year at Georgia. But everyone's expecting them to come in and take those starting spots. So, you know, Trevor Pena coming back from his injury last year, do we see him look a lot better? What about Umari Hatcher, Donovan Brown? You know, what kind of improvements do we see from these players who are in, you know, more competitive roles this year with these transfers coming in? I think the other thing we're going to look at is the offensive line. You know, there's a lot more, I think, that still needs to be added to that offensive line. And I think that Fran Brown's going to try and bring in some new guys as the transfer portal has opened again now in the spring in the second portal to see, you know, who are some players that maybe can really help out Syracuse on the line. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I think, of course, Kyle McCord is what everyone's watching for, but also, you know, the backup quarterbacks, who's going to be the guy who steps up behind McCord, and how do they look? Because, you know, the way it works in Syracuse is you can't really get too comfortable with your starter. I mean, especially with what the offensive line looks like right now, I mean, there's always chances for injuries, chances for something to happen. You know, what does Carlos Del Rio Wilson look like? Braden Davis, the freshman who's come in, who I think is really exciting a lot of people, in Ja'Kari Williams out of Georgia. You know, some sites rate him as a 4-star. So, you know, what does he look like? I think, if anything, that's what I'm looking at, even maybe more than McCord, is these backup quarterbacks, because I think, you know, that's so important in football, is your backup quarterbacks. And I think there's some concern about that QB2 this upcoming season.
We'll see what happens. You mentioned the receiving corps a couple minutes ago, and Donovan Brown's someone that, you know, stepped up. He had a bit of an opportunity last year to do something. And for me, really, the nature of this program this year is everyone's got to elevate their game, right? If they're back from last year, you got a whole different coach, whole different program. You got to come to work every day and elevate and improve your skill set, improve your work ethic, and try and be better. Try and be the best version of yourself you can every day. Donovan Brown's someone I look to that can improve based off last year. He showed us some impressive moments. That's just kind of the nature, you know, going into the season, is seeing how everyone gets better. I think that's the biggest part and the most entertaining part. And it starts on Saturday. You know, it should be a lot of fun there in the Dome. Should be a great crowd. I mean,
yeah, people are really excited, right? I'm really interested to see what the crowd is like, because, you know, you have the men's lacrosse game at 2. What, like the baby or something, some sort of concert at Castle.
I'm not gonna.
We'll both be at Bruce Springsteen.
Too, yeah,
so. That's more our style than the baby.
Well, I can tell you, I think more people will be at Bruce Springsteen than at the Syracuse spring.
Yeah, but
game.
I
also think more. Yeah, I think there's gonna be a lot of people at the spring game though.
I'll ask you this.
Yeah,
more people at the lacrosse game or the spring game?
Oh, spring game.
Spring game last year, attendance was bad. Well, because, you're talking about a top 10 lacrosse game. I think we get like 7,000 fans for that. You think we get a good amount for the spring game?
What was the attendance last year?
I don't know the exact attendance.
Let's say a few thousand. I'm going anywhere between, I'm going to go between 10 and 15,000.
10 to 15,000.
For a spring game, yes.
Really?
Yes.
10 to 15,000 for the spring game.
Yes.
I think that's a lot. Well, we'll see on Saturday. I'm going to go
Because you said lacrosse is like
5 to 10. I think lacrosse can get like 5 to 10. I think it'll be around.
If
the
lacrosse
same.
Is going 5 to 10, spring game's going 10 to 15.
Well, we're talking about a game that matters compared to a scrimmage.
But it's football versus lacrosse.
That's true. I'll give you that. All right. Well, let's move on to our next topic, which is lacrosse. Topic number 4: Syracuse men's lacrosse gearing up for its regular season finale against Virginia.
Number 4.
Well, Nico, you know it. My favorite sport. Men's lacrosse, the Orange, escaped North Carolina down in Chapel Hill this past weekend, winning 10-9 against a UNC team that is not good, to say the least, just 6-6 overall, just barely in the top 30 in RPI. That would have been an awful loss for Syracuse if they weren't able to come out on top. So, you know, this team now 2-1 in the ACC, entering the regular season finale on Saturday against Virginia. A massive game. I think that this is a much bigger game than maybe people are making it out to be. You know, this is a Syracuse team that is probably locked into the NCAA tournament, barring some chaos that would have to be some random team winning the Big Ten tournament, some random team winning the Big East. There'd have to be pure chaos for the Orange to miss the tournament, and they'd have to lose this game. And
so is it the biggest game of the season?
No, it's not the biggest game of the season, but I think it's a big game, and I think that it is one that would really, really be big for Syracuse to win. Right now, the two top wins this year are Duke and Johns Hopkins. I think you need one more big one before the season ends because, you know, Syracuse has not been playing its best lacrosse recently.
Well,
barely beating North Carolina, losing to Cornell, losing to Notre Dame. I think that you need a big win here, and I think that you need to look good for four quarters before postseason play starts.
It would be the third win of the season against a top five opponent. That's first thing. Second thing, you just brought it up, is the fourth quarter. This team's got to play a consistent four quarters. Who's someone that could step up in the fourth quarter, right? That's an issue we've seen lately with the Syracuse team. They have a good spread offensively as far as who's scoring, right? You have Finn Thompson, you got Spallina, you got Leo, you got Luke Rowe. There's many guys that can score the ball, Christian Moulet. But you don't have that takeover guy in the fourth quarter. And I look to Joey Spallina to try and build on that role that he has. As maybe he's not the go-to scorer you look for, but you need someone in the fourth quarter. And to me, I look at your leader of this team, and that is Joey Spallina. That's who everyone wants him to be, what they want him to be as far as a leader. So you need to have him take that next level and be a star guy in the fourth quarter. And I'm not saying, you know, score 2 or 3 goals a game, even a quarter, but score one goal to put an end to a run that North Carolina had, that Cornell had in the last 2 weeks, and put a statement.
Yeah, I think the one guy that I'm looking at is Christian Moulet. Just 4 points in the last 2 games. That's not enough from the attack position. You need more from him. He was just 1 for 14 shooting against UNC as well. I think that he's someone who really has to step up. UVA, on the other hand, kind of a weird team, especially on offense. Their top six is probably the best top six in the country with Connor Schellenberger and Peyton Cormier. Schellenberger could be the number one overall pick in the professional draft this year. He is a star. He's one of the best players in the country. Cormier leads the nation in goals and goals per game. And then McKay Millen, their third attackman, someone actually I played against a little bit growing up. He's a star. Is both of his parents All-Americans. He's the top freshman in the country. And then their offensive middies are really good as well. But the thing is once you get past that top line, it kind of all falls apart for UVA on offense because their second line really just doesn't have it. Their highest scoring second line midfielder has just 7 points this season, which is very different from Syracuse, where, you know, you look at that second line and you've got some, you know, real stars on it. You look at the second line of Syracuse and you have someone, you know, you have Sam English on there. You have these guys who you can really trust. So I think that's going to be an interesting game to see, you know, how can Syracuse shut down UVA's stars? And I think there's a lot of pressure on the defense. And I think if you can get a defensive performance, not like the Duke game, you know, it doesn't have to be like that, but, you know, UVA is a similar team to Duke where it has so many stars and Syracuse held Duke to, what was it, 4 goals. It doesn't have to be that exact same thing, but I think that this game really is going to be a lot on the defense.
It is. And it's something that we haven't seen the last couple of weeks, especially in the fourth quarter. If this team doesn't have a good fourth quarter on Saturday, I don't know what to think of them as a team, because you got to play well in the fourth to have a chance at the end of these games, especially going into the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. The fourth quarter determines a lot. So what I see with the defense is they just kind of fall asleep in the fourth. That's really been the nature of the game. And they did more so of that in the Cornell game than they did in the North Carolina game, because the North Carolina game, there were a lot of goals that I thought the Tar Heels just really, really shined offensively all of a sudden and had better shots than it was a fault by Syracuse's defense. So again, it's stopping your star opponents in the fourth quarter. That's the biggest thing for me going into Virginia and going into the tournament for Syracuse defensively.
Number six, Syracuse takes on number four, Virginia, in the Dome on Saturday at 2 p.m. That game will be nationally televised on ESPNU. Should be a lot of fun before the spring game starts. Well, one more topic to go over here on Fizz 5, and it's probably the best team on campus. Number two, Syracuse women's lacrosse gets ready for its regular season finale. That's topic number five.
Number five.
Well, the second-ranked Orange take on number six, Boston College, on the road in women's lacrosse on Thursday. This is a Syracuse team that, ever since its slow 3-3 start, has been playing exceptional. They've won 9 games in a row, 7 of them by 9 or more goals, and it all comes down to this: the regular season finale against Boston College, the team that knocked Syracuse out of the tournament last year, the team that ended Syracuse's perfect season last year. This is a BC team that's coming off of a surprising loss against Virginia last week. So it's an Eagles squad that has a lot to fight for. But I think for Syracuse mentally, if they can win this game, I think they put so much behind them and almost can kind of get over that hump a little bit, because, you know, BC has really been, you know, the thorn and the big thing that stops Syracuse.
They've gotten over that hump. Now you can really put it over the top if you can beat Boston College, because if you remember right, I mean, this is the team that put an end last year to Syracuse and we'll put an end to their 15-game winning streak. Now, a 9-game winning streak for Syracuse heading into this game, looking for 10. And no, it should be a great one. It should be really a great game. You mentioned this, the 3-3 start. Syracuse has just elevated since then. They've been grooving. There hasn't really been much like wrong with the team that stands out to me. I mean, Emma Tyrell has been a beast for Syracuse. Peyton Rally had 4 goals at Clemson.
Yeah, I think Peyton Rally's the big one here.
Yeah.
She's the player who has really stepped up lately. As you said, 4 goals against Clemson. She had 3 against Pittsburgh in the game before. I mean, she had just 1 goal all of last year, and she's got 22 this season. I think Peyton Rally is the one who's really stepped up for the Syracuse team recently.
Rally is really one to watch for. She can be the X factor for Syracuse. We mentioned Tyrell and Olivia Adamson as well. I mean, she had 3 goals at Clemson. And for the defensive side of things, they held an opponent to less than 10 goals for the third straight game. That is saying something. They are really grooving on both sides of the ball. And they're not like the men's side where they have a, you know, bit of a rut in the fourth quarter. Granted, they are up by a lot, but so is the men's side, and they still find a way to blow it. This women's team's really, really grooving right now. If they can continue to do what they do, I think they'll be just fine.
Syracuse has won the ACC regular season championship outright for the first time ever. The Orange had shared the crown last year and in 2014. But this year, the first time that they've ever won it outright. So Syracuse gets the number 1 overall seed in the tournament that starts next week on Wednesday. They'll play the 11 a.m. game. I'll ask you this, Nico, before we end. For Syracuse women's lacrosse this year,
mm-hmm.
What would you consider to be a successful season? Do you think this team has to win the ACC championship or win the national championship for it to be a success?
I don't think you got to win the national championship.
But do you think they have to win?
You have to win the ACC tournament.
And then how far do they have to go in the national tournament?
Boy, that's a tough question.
I think they have to go to the Final Four.
I'd say Final Four.
I think if you don't go to the Final Four, it's like an absolute failure.
Because,
you know,
it's so hard to judge the playoffs. It's a whole new season, right? I mean, you have so many good teams going at it. Anyone can win on any day. That's what makes the playoffs so fun to watch. But, looking at the rankings this year and looking at how this team has been performing, Final Four you'd think would be the goal, the benchmark. Then you go from there. But you got to take it one game at a time. And I hope they don't get caught up in trying to look too far ahead, because it'll cost you. But again, I do think Final Four is really a legitimate goal for this team.
Yeah, I honestly think you might have to win it for me to say it's not a failure, because next year you lose. I mean, you thought you lost a lot last season. Next year, you had so many players come back for the grad year list this year. You lose, both Schweitzers, Delaney in goal and Savannah on offense. You lose Kate Mischewski at the draw circle. You lose, so many key defenders, and it's going to be interesting next year. You lose Emma Tyrell as well, Hallie Simpkins. The list goes on and on of players that Syracuse will lose next year, Bianca Chevry. So I do think that
this
is the year that Syracuse has to get it done. We'll see. A big, big game on Thursday. Is that tomorrow? It's Wednesday. Big game tomorrow night. That game nationally televised as well, just like the men.
Big concert tomorrow night, too.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen in the Dome. That's a 5 p.m. start. So, I mean, you could do both.
7:30.
You could watch the game and then see Bruce that game at 5 p.m. on ESPNU over in Chestnut Hill. So that's a big one. And Syracuse, I think, has to win just to get over that mental hump. Well, we'll see what happens. It's crazy how much stuff is going on right now in the Syracuse world, considering that it is April 17th. But, I mean, I feel like that's the one plus of the transfer portal, is that it makes everything so much more interesting. Well, we thank you all so much for tuning in to this edition of Fizz 5. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Orange Fizz. Check out our website at orangefizz.net. We've got coverage of everything Syracuse related. We've got everything transfer portal, spring football, everything that you need to know. So check us out there. We thank you all so much for tuning in to this edition of Fizz 5. For Nico Horning, I'm Adam Gotkin. We'll see you next time, and we'll end things as we always do by saying go Orange.
And that's your Fizz 5. Listen next week. Subscribe, rate, and review. This has been an Orange Fizz production.